Executive Testimony.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're set to hear today from executives at 8 of 9 banks that took bailout money last fall. They'll testify before the House Financial Services Committee. Several of the CEOs say they made more loans as a result of those infusions, and they vow to pay back the taxpayer money over time. That money, of course, part of the $700 billion Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, that Congress approved last fall. Part two of that plan, announced yesterday by Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, didn't get a rousing welcome on Wall Street. Stocks lost big time yesterday in the wake of the announcement. The Dow closed down more than 380 points, about 5%. There were 4 and 5% losses across the board for the NASDAQ and S&P 500 as well. Overseas markets are hiccuping this morning as well. Asia closed lower for the most part. Hong Kong fell 2.5%. Japan's Nikkei down just slightly, and Europe's trading lower as well. And as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports, that U.S. sneeze is giving the world a bit of a cold today.
The drops haven't been that big. Hong Kong fell 2.5%, and that was the worst overseas. And really, how much attention can foreign investors pay to our bailout? They've got their own crises to deal with.
We have got our own banking crisis, but essentially there is a belief here that without the U.S. being seen to be pulling out of this crisis, Europe has absolutely no chance of following suit.
That's Howard Wieldon, a senior strategist at BGC Partners in London. He says the Geithner plan lacks the comprehensive approach that's worked in financial crises of the past.
The need for speed and overwhelming force of government action just isn't there in this plan. In other words, it's just not big enough. It's not wide enough.
Of course, this crisis is far bigger than its predecessors. In an interview yesterday, President Obama said investors looking for an easy out won't find one. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Maybe we can blame the financial fallout on our genes. There's a new study out today that links, if in a small way, our genetic makeup to the amount of risk we're willing to take with our savings. From the Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
Dopamine and serotonin are brain chemicals that play a role in behaviors, like addiction or how neurotic we are. According to the study, two genes that regulate these chemicals are culprits in our economic behavior. Northwestern University professor Camilla Kunin gave students money to make 96 investment choices. Then she took some of their saliva to get their DNA. Students who carried specific varieties of the genes made risky investments 25% more of the time than those without them. But Kunin says her study didn't take into account how we grow up.
Only 30% of variation in risk-taking behavior is due to our genes. The rest of 70% comes from other things like your life experience, your cultural background, your education.
The risk-taking variants that Kunin identified are also linked to how much our ancestors moved around. The farther they traveled, the more likely you are to make risky financial choices. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
All right. The mayor says enough pounding on Las Vegas, and he's calling President Obama on what he calls outrageous remarks concerning visiting his fair city. Oscar Goodman says the fact that companies such as Wells Fargo and Goldman Sachs have either canceled or moved conferences planned for Vegas is a direct result from pressure from the president. And he says Mr. Obama owes the city an apology for taking business away. The president has made corporate junkets such as those planned for Vegas a hallmark of what they shouldn't do in this era of taxpayer-financed assistance.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work.
The Senate finally approved a new version of that stimulus package, but debate continues about whether it's a good idea in the first place. Commentator Will Wilkinson isn't so sure. He thinks there's more psychology than theory at work.
The government is about to spend $838 billion in taxpayer dollars on the premise that the economy otherwise risks spinning into a sort of death spiral. So how exactly is this supposed to work? The terrifying fact is that nobody really knows. The president's idea is that American investors and consumers are undergoing a self-perpetuating crisis of confidence, suffering from depressed animal spirits, to use John Maynard Keynes' famous phrase. Consumers, fearing the worst, cut spending. And that hurts retail sales, which hurts profits, which leads to layoffs, which leads to a new round of anxieties for creditors and consumers, and on and on and on. A big blast of tax cuts and government spending, a sort of economic shock therapy, is supposed to jolt us out of our self-reinforcing funk and put us on the happy path to recovery. In this Keynes-inspired view, anti-recession macroeconomic policy turns out to be a kind of government mood manipulation. Sadly, macroeconomists are amateur psychologists at best. They simply don't know which interventions reliably buoy consumer and investor confidence. Indeed, many leading macroeconomists say there's little evidence that slashing taxes and boosting spending works well at all, even in theory. And the massive stimulus package we're about to get is far from a work of economic science. Harvard's Robert Barrow, one of the world's most influential macroeconomists, says the bill's tax cut and spending provisions are both garbage. The idea is that stimulus will revive flagging animal spirits by actually priming consumption. But an ill-designed set of initiatives, a bunch of garbage, may do little more than run up crushing deficits that we'll pay for in inflation or pass on to our kids. President Obama did promise to bring us hope. Well, I'm doing my best to hope this works.
Will Wilkinson is a fellow at the Cato Institute. Finally, remember when Congress voted to delay that looming switch to digital television? It had been planned for Tuesday. But because of the financial crisis, Congress put it off until June. Well, you can breathe a sigh of relief about that. You might want to start worrying again because there are reports that as many as 500 television stations are still planning to make that digital switch anyway, as originally planned next week. Nielsen estimates that more than 6 million households may not be ready for the digital transition. Once again, stocks down. The Dow down yesterday by more than 4%, the latest on the numbers, and of course, podcasting too at our website, marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.